I'm Emma, the owner and founder of Baby Sleep Consultant, and this week we are talking about naps, the five top reasons why you are probably struggling with your baby's naps and what you can do about it. Understanding why naps are so hard is pretty close to my own heart as a parent. I vividly remember being a first-time mum nearly 17, over 17 years ago now, and I was so confused as to why my daughter would go to sleep so easily in the evening and actually sleep pretty well through the night. Yet during the day, I was having to jump through all these hoops to get her to take a nap. And I really thought I was doing something wrong. I couldn't understand why she could sleep so much longer at night than she could during the day. And this left me as a parent confused and just wondering what was going on. And typically, in my own sort of personality, I started a deep dive into the research around naps to try to figure out why these naps were so hard for my daughter. It wasn't until a few years later that I became a certified sleep consultant, and that research kind of backed up what I was learning. But we're going to look at the five top reasons today as to why those naps are so hard. Okay, reason number one. What we need to understand when it comes to your baby's sleep is that day sleep is different to night sleep because at night, when your baby goes to bed in the evening, there's a few things going on. Their circadian rhythm is saying with a big loud voice, you need to go to sleep. And this is because cortisol levels that help your baby to stay awake during the day are dropping drastically in the evening. And melatonin levels, which we know make us go to sleep, are increasing really quickly in the evening. So the combination of these two hormonal changes is screaming at your baby, go to sleep. The other thing that is happening in the evening is no matter how well your baby has slept throughout the day, they have been awake for big chunks of the day as well. And so, what these awake periods throughout the day do is they build this big sleep drive. It's like a wave building and building and building. And come evening time, this wave just wants to crash down, and your baby really wants to go to sleep. So, we have these two things happening at night that make night sleep relatively easy when we compare that to day sleep, because these things just aren't happening throughout the day. In the day, we don't have the same drastic changes in melatonin and cortisol levels to aid in sleep. And sleep drive is not as high during the day. Even if your baby gets really overtired, that sleep drive is still not as high as it is in the evening. So we don't have the same physiological and hormonal pressures and drivers during the day that are present at night. And this is what makes sleep during the day a lot harder than sleep at night. It's not that you're doing anything wrong during the day. It's not that there's something wrong with your baby. The key thing to understand is just that sleep during the day is going to be a lot harder to achieve than sleep at night. Now, that's not to say your baby doesn't need to sleep during the day. They absolutely do. It just means that if you find you have to do more shushing and patting, or have a longer pre-sleep ritual, or your baby takes longer to self-settle during the day than they do at night. Understanding the why behind that and knowing that you maybe don't have to worry too much, that it is so different. Nobody is broken or doing anything wrong for this to be the case in your house. Okay, so from reason number one, you might be left thinking, well, couldn't I just keep my baby awake for longer and longer and create more sleep drive during the day? And thus, it would be easier to get them down for a nap. But unfortunately, this isn't the case. And reason number two why you might be struggling with your baby's naps is that you're actually missing what we call their sleep window. So, the sleep window is the ideal time in the day where your baby is actually ready to go down for a nap. And at this point, they are what we would say tired enough for a nap, but they're not overtired. So, a baby who's tired enough to take a nap should settle relatively easily. If they are at the stage where they can self-settle for their naps, they should go down and be asleep without much fuss in about 10 to 20 minutes at the most. If they are a newborn and still require hands-on assistance from you, then it might take you 10 to 15 minutes to actually hands-on physically settle them to sleep for a nap. If you have hit their sleep window correctly and they're not overtired, and the other one is they're not undertired. So it's really hard for parents to tell the difference between overtired and undertired, but both of these situations do mean that you're missing your baby's sleep window. Now, an overtired baby will generally start to show late tired signs before their nap. So you might see some aggressive eye rubbing or a lot of grizzling or crying. These are signs that your baby is actually getting quite overtired and you've probably missed the sleep window a little bit, and I'd be aiming to get them down for a nap ASAP. Now, if you are not seeing any tired signs, but you're thinking your baby needs to go down for a nap, they might actually be a little bit undertired. Now, this baby, when you go to put them down for a nap, then they might start crying because they're trying to communicate to you, whoa, 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 I'm not tired right now. I don't want to go to bed for a nap. But the really tricky part there is obviously babies also cry when you go to put them down for their naps for reasons other than being undertired. So we have to really look at the cue of crying when they go down for their nap within the context of their day to try to work out if they are perhaps undertired or overtired, or are they actually hungry and can't go down for a nap because they're hungry, or they really need you to start teaching them to self-settle because they actually can't settle for their sleep. So the way that I teach my clients to look at the cue of crying when they go down for a nap within the context of their day is really to try to look at it within some structure of routine. Because if we're sticking to some kind of regular routine, that helps us to eliminate other reasons for the crying. If you know they had a feed because they have a feed every day at this time and it was a full proper feed and they fed well, then you should know when you go to put them down for their nap, they're not crying because they're hungry. And if you're following an age-appropriate routine, it should have awake times in there that are based on the average length of time a baby of that age can stay awake. And that helps you to also eliminate whether they're a bit overtired or undertired. And if you're not sure and you do get them down for that nap, the other thing we can look at is how they wake up from that sleep. So if they wake up from that nap screaming, chances are they actually went down overtired. If they wake up early from that nap but very content and happy just to stay in their crib, they're probably a little bit undertired. If they're not showing any signs of needing to go back to sleep, they maybe don't need any more sleep, and next time you could keep them awake a little bit longer. And if it's just an issue of actually they need to start self-settling, then the biggest thing you'll notice is that they will struggle to settle, and they also might find the way in which you are settling them to be quite overstimulating. And that is that it keeps them awake longer and this stretches out their awake time further, and you start to miss their sleep window even more just trying to actually settle them to sleep. This can be a really good sign that it's actually time to start teaching your baby to self-settle, because although in the initial days when they learn to self-settle, it can take longer than your previous settling. Over the course of sort of 7 to 14 days, they get quicker and quicker and quicker at the self-settling, and you really start to hit those sleep windows easily, and no one's getting overtired before their naps. A good rule of thumb, if you're wondering about awake windows and sleep windows, so if you're wanting to hit a baby's sleep window using awake times or awake windows without worrying about routine, by about 3 to 4 months, the maximum you want your baby awake for is about 2 hours. By 6 months, the maximum we want our baby awake for between naps is around 2.5 hours. And by 8 months, that awake window could stretch to a maximum of about 3 hours between naps. And it tends to stay like this until your baby drops down to 2 naps. So things settle down in terms of awake windows increasing. So that should help you to make sure that you are actually hitting your baby's sleep window and they're not getting super overtired or you're not trying to put them down when they're undertired for a nap. Okay, reason three you might be struggling with your baby's naps is they actually might be ready to drop a nap. Now, this is quite a common situation when parents are not really aware of how many sleeps their baby needs. So, when you first have your newborn baby, they will require around 3 to 5 naps a day. Three if they're taking good naps, five if they're quite short. But as they grow, they're going to drop down to one nap by about 15 to 18 months. So that's a huge change from newborn to 15 months. We're going from 5 naps a day to 1 nap a day. That's a lot to keep on top of in terms of dropping naps at the right time and the right stage and looking for those signs that they're ready to drop a nap and staying on top of things so your baby doesn't develop any bad habits around napping purely because they actually are ready to drop a nap. So if you are struggling with your baby's naps, that actually could be a sign that their routine and how many naps they're taking is not aligned with their sleep needs. Here are some indicators that I think your baby's routine is off and they might actually be ready to drop a nap and you weren't aware of it. So if you put your baby down for a nap and they play in their cot for a long time before actually falling asleep, and when you think back to those awake windows that we talked about, maybe they're starting to really extend those out before they actually fall asleep. That's a pretty good sign that they might actually be ready to drop a nap completely. Another sign to look for is that they might have gone from having good naps to now having short naps. Or if they only had one long nap in the middle of the day, they might now be having a short nap at that time. So they're waking up early from the end of their sleep time. That could be a sign that actually they're ready to drop their morning nap or their third nap of the day, depending on how old they are. Another change is they might suddenly cry excessively during nap time or at bedtime. So they would cry excessively at the start of nap time if they're undertired and they don't want this nap or they don't need it. And they would cry excessively at bedtime if they're having too many naps a day and therefore they're undertired at bedtime. So they're protesting bedtime because they're having too many naps in the day and they're undertired and they don't want to go to bed. Another sign you can look for is that although your baby's napping well during the day, and this hasn't changed in a long time, they might actually start waking more frequently at night and even be awake for a long period of time through the night or the dreaded split night. They might start to show you they're having a split night where they're awake for such a long period of time in the night. It's almost another awake window in the middle of the night. That is a really clear sign they need to reduce their day sleep and probably drop a nap, if not drop the nap completely, depending on how old they are. Another sign they're having too much day sleep and they're probably ready to drop a nap is you might start to see a baby who was previously sleeping through until, morning time of 6:37. They might start waking a lot earlier, sort of 5:36. And this is because, again, they're undertired from having too much sleep during the day. Another reason or a sign that your baby is having too much sleep and they might be ready to drop a nap is that they become increasingly irritable between naps. So you want to really stay on top of their nap routine and look for those signs that they're grumpy and their routine's not really aligning with their needs at the moment. Reason four is an interesting one. So another reason you might be struggling with your baby's naps is that it's after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And most of my clients find it really challenging to get their baby to take a nap after 3 o'clock without assistance from the parents. So this is super common. And instead of attempting to sleep train them for this late afternoon sleep and sort of focusing on self-settling, I really encourage my clients to just adjust their expectations. If they're trying to achieve a nap after 3 p.m., your baby's probably going to need your help for this nap. And that is because naps after 3 p.m. occur in what Dr. Richard Ferber refers to as the non-sleep zone or the forbidden sleep zone. So, as much as a young baby really needs to take a nap in this time to prepare for their evening routine and not go to bed for the night super overtired, this nap is going to be really hard to achieve if you're trying to get your baby to take it in their cot or crib or self-settle for the sleep. So I highly recommend that parents just simply assist to sleep for this nap even if for their other sleeps, their baby can self-settle. So again, adjusting our expectations, we might look at our baby's day and go, I don't understand, you self-settle for your morning sleep and you self-settle for your lunchtime sleep, but then come the end of the day, I just can't get you to self-settle in your cot or your crib. And that's because the sleep is occurring in the forbidden sleep zone. So if you just pop them in their pram or their stroller and go for a walk at this time, generally they will take this nap fairly easily. They don't need very long at this time, maybe 15 to 30 minutes, depending on how old they are. It's really just enough of a sleep to sort of get them through the evening routine without a lot of hysterical crying from being super overtired. I think the good news is that usually we don't require any sleep after 3 p.m. from about 7 to 8 months old. So if you find this process of having to go for a walk every day or assist your baby to sleep really arduous, I know a lot of parents who have more than one child find this difficult because they're also dealing with a toddler at this time. It's really good news to know that you only have to do this and help your baby with this nap for about 7 or 8 months. So it's the first nap to disappear. And again, it's likely because it's in this forbidden sleep zone. And it's actually really good for your baby to start to learn to stay awake from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to bedtime and really build some sleep debt that we talked about in reason one and build that sleep drive that actually promotes longer night sleep in the long run, which I'm sure everybody is looking forward to the day their baby sleeps longer at night. And the last reason why you are probably struggling with your baby's naps is their sleep environment. So when we think about night sleep, we try to then replicate what's happening at night during the day. So I really encourage you, if your baby is sleeping well at night, look at their sleep environment and ask yourself what changes you can make to your baby's sleep environment during the day. The biggest one is usually looking at how dark the sleep environment is. Can you close the curtains or get some portable blackout blinds and actually make that room semi as dark as it is at night to sort of block out all those distractions and really encourage your baby to sleep well, even though it's daytime. You might also look at adding in some white noise during the day, even if you actually don't need it during the night, because when we look at reason number one and we understand that physiologically day sleep is more difficult for babies than night sleep, we might start to add in some things that we know aid in settling in sleep, like the white noise, that we don't necessarily need at night. And a lot of parents will say to me, you know, I don't need white noise at night. I don't need to pat my baby or do anything to help them calm down to get to sleep. They just sleep. But that's because it's nighttime. So having to do something different during the day and perhaps using some white noise is fine and to be expected. And I would recommend adding it in if you are struggling with getting your baby to take a nap during the day. One other thing we can really take away from night sleep is the pre-sleep routine that goes on in the evening that actually really encourages your baby to sleep well at night. So for most people, this involves a bath and a feed and then going into the sleeping bag or swaddle and being popped down into bed. Now, I'm not recommending that you bath your baby before every nap in the day, although I did consider this myself as a parent in the early months. I was struggling with naps this much. But what you can do instead is create a really nice pre-sleep wind-down ritual that you just use for naps. So this might mean you go to your baby's room and close the curtains, turn on a nightlight, have some cuddles, sing some songs together. If they're older, you might look at books together. But I would recommend you give them a really solid 5 to 15 minutes to transition from awake to asleep in their sleep environment with this pre-sleep wind down. So taking them into their new sleep environment, maybe they've got the white noise on, you've got the curtains pulled, it's nice and dark, and we're having lots of cuddles, sort of emulating what goes on in the evening, because you might not necessarily feed before every nap. You don't want to create a feed to sleep association, but you can do lots of nice cuddles and snuggles and actually help your baby to sort of transition their mood from being awake and playful and active and engaging to calm and soothed and ready to sleep. And a lot of babies struggle with that transition during the day for the reasons we outlined in reason number one. So we can help them with that by physically being really present in a really good pre-sleep wind down before their naps, and be really patient with it too, because I know it's super boring, you know, doing this soothing strategy for 5 to 15 minutes before every nap, but often the payoff is huge in terms of how easily your baby will then settle for their nap compared to if you dump and run and expect them to drift off to sleep easily. Okay, so we've covered 5 reasons why you could be struggling with naps. We've talked about the physiological drive to sleep during the day being a lot less than it is at night. We've talked about sleep windows and conversely awake windows. I've talked about the signs that your baby might be ready to actually drop a nap and their routine no longer matches what's going on. And we've talked about the non-sleep zone or the forbidden sleep zone that occurs after 3 p.m., making those naps difficult. And we've talked about sleep environment for good naps during the day. So if this has been helpful, that's awesome. If you're looking for some more assistance, maybe you want to look at some routines so you're no longer guessing when your baby needs to take a nap, or you want to know month by month when they actually will be required to drop a nap and how much day sleep they need to encourage good night sleep but not rob their night sleep. And you might be wanting to actually start focusing on self-settling, because this also makes naps a lot easier once your baby is in that 4 to 6 month window and they no longer need you to put them to sleep. Working on self-settling just makes naps a whole lot less stressful and also starts to really encourage your baby to be able to go back to sleep into a second sleep cycle during the day and take those longer naps. So I will put some links in the show notes if you're after any information on those topics, and make sure you come back next week to see what else we'll be covering in terms of baby and toddler sleep.